Okay, good morning once again. So this is an awesome time of the year with our convention, and Pastor had just mentioned that he'd like to have a couple popcorn testimonies. So those are testimonies on the spur of the moment here. And really, we're world Christians, aren't we? We're a local church with a worldwide vision. So we're going to ask on the spot here Pastor Julian from Puerto Rico, and we're just going to run the mic to him. And maybe you can just give us a greeting from Puerto Rico.
Hey, great to see you.
Awesome. Well, it's good to be here, and the entire family is actually here. And so thank you. Yes. And so Cindy, Abigail, we have a friend of Aaliyah's, Julian, his name also. And he's from Baltimore, and Aaliyah is here. And Julian's sister, who's Juliana. And then we have Avery and Onnelly, and my son, Julian Jr. So we've made it easy for you. Yes. And so I was just thinking about the extravagant love of God and the extreme things that God would do to really to reach us. And just by way of a testimony, as you know, we went through the hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. And we still have trauma there, and what's not hitting the news is that we've had up to 300 people have committed suicide, so please be praying for Puerto Rico. But we did medical missions. We were able to get some donations from several different churches, and we met this gentleman as we were just letting them know when and where it would be, and gave him a flyer, and he said, "I'll be there." But what we all didn't know was that he would come without his wife, because several have had to go to psychiatric institutions because of the trauma. But he came, and he accepted the Lord. And what joy he had to think that he had to lose his wife to an institution for the love of God to come through. That, you may say, is extreme. But isn't that what Calvary is? That God would give his only begotten Son. And so we just bless the Lord, because with the message, with your love, with your encouragement, we go and we tell them that in the extreme and in the tragic places, he has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So thank you. Thank you for your love and your encouragement. God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Also, right on the spot here, Pili Krama. We'd love to hear from you from the Far East.
God bless you.
Hi, it's great to see all of you. It's awesome to be here, and just... the only thought I have is from Psalm 119, that I stand in the awe of your word.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And then lastly, Pastor Mati Sirio. He's here somewhere. There he is. From Oman.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here. With friends, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, someone asked me if, they asked me which service I'm going to be in. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing question. That's like luxury. Like, which service are you going to be in? Of course, I'm going to be in all of them, you know. And I thought, it's amazing what God has given us, and we have a ministry where we can come to and we hear a message that lifts us up in these times. We don't hear condemnation, we don't hear a message that we cannot live up to, but we hear this message of grace and encouragement. It's just amazing. So I'm very privileged to be here in all possible services that I can attend. Because, you know, when you are giving a lot and if you don't share, then what happens? Then you start complaining. Sooner or later, you start complaining. because you don't understand how much you have actually. And I don't want to be complaining. I want to enjoy this, and really I feel very privileged to be with Pastor Schaller, my pastor, and we come from the battle and we are in a good place. Thank you.
I'm looking around wondering if there is somebody else that's just came in from the mission field. Or we had this morning Grant Sutton here. So we'll probably hear from a lot of different people through the next weeks. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 14. Pastor Monty said something about sharing, about ministering. If I don't minister, I don't pour out. I'll complain. And, you know, that does happen where I don't pour out. I need to love. I need to minister, pour out as part of my life. How many of you have been kind of shocked and surprised by the suicides that we've seen happening recently in the news and the increase of suicides in our country and overdoses as well? Something like 45,000 suicides in a year and 67,000 overdoses that resulted in fatalities, large number. Why? The psychiatrists say that in suicide there are different elements, three primary elements, but one of them is a unresolved sense of anguish inside in the heart. It reminds us of Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, deep water in a well goes down deep, deep. Go let the bucket goes down deep, 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 deep into the heart of man, and a man of understanding will draw it out. And I don't know of anybody in this world that has a better understanding of you and me except God. Amen. There isn't anybody other than God. God is the man of understanding. When Jesus is here, he didn't talk to everybody. But sometimes he talked to crowds. 58% of his communication was one-on-one, if you we are to count it. There was Nicodemus at night, the woman at the well. There was the blind man in John 9, the woman taken in adultery in John 8. There was the time with Martha and Mary when their brother had died. Like, Jesus is a one-on-one God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woohoo! Okay. Wow. You know, when I'm in a group, we're all listening, but we know the Holy Spirit goes where people do not go. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit that reaches with his long finger to the back row, weighed down with the heart of God, loves you. God is love. the devil would like to misconstrue this world and say God is not love. But when God goes deep into your heart and he says, I am here, I am enough, I am God, and when you know God, then you say amen. Not mechanically, but because he goes where man cannot go. He goes to our spirit. But this is a generation of wounded people. We have wounds. We are a generation, and I believe every generation has been a generation of wounded people, because life can be very hard, tragic. Actually, in the book of Job, we read that life is essentially tragic. That's what Job is realizing. Life is tragic, and we should learn that. Life is tragic, and it is addressed by the God that goes into the tragedy and is raised from the dead and says, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, hurricanes, as Pastor Julian mentioned, hurricanes, ripping your house apart, ripping your country apart, ripping your families apart, ripping the world apart. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen. Thank you, God.
The problem is, I don't hear it only on the outside. I hear it as a platitude. I hear it as maybe a doctrine. But I must hear these things by the only teacher on the earth that knows them in the deepest and the realest way, and that teacher is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, we had a brother this morning who shared with me, he said, when Pastor Steve finished singing, and he did a great job, us were over here like laugh, thinking about how I could never do what he is doing right now. You know, we're just like, look at each other. How can he do that? Okay, he said, after he sang, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly. And he said, John 3:16, 17, and 18. After he sang, we had our testimonies, and I came up. And I said, turn to John 3:16, 17, and 18. And he said, I almost fell off my chair. And what is the exciting thing about that is that he's a relatively new believer, but he is realizing that God can speak to me. He is realizing that God is a talking God, a loving God, a God that goes to our hearts. And when life is tragic, I need to know God who is victorious, the resurrection and the life, the answer for my wound and my pain. Unfortunately, this is a wounded world, and the world talks a lot about our wounds. You are wounded, you know, you are hurting, you are a victim. A lot about it. We understand we are sorry, and in whatever way, it's just a wounded world. And God said to Israel in Jeremiah 30, he said, your wounds are incurable. Why did he say that? Because they would not go to him. Your wounds are incurable. There, you don't have a doctor. You don't have an answer. You don't have oil that will mollify your wounds and bruises and putrefying sores in Isaiah 1:5. You can't find me. Come to me, All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's what I need, rest. I don't need suicide. And by the way, I think it'd be worthwhile for anybody contemplating that they would sober up and realize that I might wake up in hell. Suicide might go, I'm not even touching the worst of my suffering. If I am to take my life, I might end up in hell. How do you know? They say 67% of Americans believe they're going to go to heaven. I don't know, that's a high number. When Jesus said, when it looks like when we read the scripture, I would hope so, I would love it. But I cannot be secure about that number. I cannot be sure about that number. Who can? What does that mean? Just because somebody believes it, they can be deceived. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I believe this, but how do I know this? It is not a solution for my pain, but we have, praise God, the only solution, the only answer. Look at Lamentations 2 with me, please, chapter 2. This isn't the message. It is the message, but it isn't the one I have planned out. But 2:14, listen to this. Your prophets, and I would like to clarify that the prophets, these are the false prophets. The false prophets, the leaders that don't lead people to victory, the leaders that are not leading people in God, but they are misleading people. You should be wise about what goes in your heart and in your mind at home when you are watching your television or programs and so on, that you should be very capable of turning something off and saying, this is not edifying. This is just garbage. This is garbage. This is trash. This is Lamentations 2:14. I went to church and I heard the pastor say Lamentations 2:14. And I memorized the verse. And as I memorized it, I started to roll it around in my heart and mind, and I started to really believe that this is what happens to people. Look at chapter 2:14, please. It says, your prophets have seen vain and foolish things for you. Have you ever seen one of these programs where you have the perverted people go on TV programs, sit down, and they are interviewed? Now, you have a relationship with, and they talk about these, all kinds of promiscuous, sexual, perverted relationships. And then the crowd is laughing and applauding, and this whole thing is so absolutely absurd, weird. These are the prophets of the day, the false prophets. These are the men that are leading our world. They are making movies and all of this. And I don't want to go into some social commentary here. I just want to make a point. I want you to think. You are thinking believers by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's think about it. Suicide is not an option. No, that can't happen. I find another answer, God. If God made me and he wants me to live, he can also take me in his timing. Praise the Lord. He has appointed unto us a certain day and a certain time, as we read, and it was at Psalm 48:14. It's God that gives life and God that takes it away. You don't take your life. That's not God's will. but you have found another answer. And it's to get rid of the pain and the wound that I have in my heart, deep in my heart, by the grace of God, the Spirit of God. But be careful, because false prophets will lead you. Look at verse 14. They will find vain and foolish things for you. Like, let's say, counsel that is foolish, antidepressants maybe. If you're under doctor's care and some doctor's taking care of you, that's your business, not mine. But pain is not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe pain is designed of God to be part of our life. And it helps me, maybe I can find God in my life. Maybe if I got serious with God, God would heal me of my wound. Look at verse 14. It says, they have not discovered your iniquity. They have not discovered the real root problem, to turn away your captivity, to set you free. They have not found the root problem that will set you free. But they've given you a whole truckload of stuff that has not liberated you and set you free. Verse 14. But they have seen for you false burdens and causes of banishment. Okay, that's it. That's pretty heavy-duty stuff, and it's worth it to pack that one away in my heart and think about it and say, maybe that's what I need. A prophet who's going to hit the target, who's going to say, you know, your problem isn't with your mother, your problem is with forgiving your mother. You know, your problem isn't with the drugs. The problem is the depression that is behind the drugs and the lack of mental and spiritual occupation with truth, where you shall know the truth and it will set you free. What you need is a high dosage of a Bible, Holy Spirit, Bible impartation that will move you in the Spirit and lead you in faith. And it might take some patience on my part and effort on my part in a certain attitude of faith to God, who cannot see him and I may not feel him, but I'm going to believe that he's going to take care of me because I'm made in his image. And he is the good shepherd, and I will not lack anything. And we are his sheep, and he has made us, and we have not made ourselves. And why wouldn't he take care of us if he made us? There you go. That's clear. Okay. Turn now to Proverbs 14. I'm sorry, Luke 14. And we are going to read from verse 25 to verse 35 and just skip right along, make a few points on each of these, and I believe the Spirit will speak to us. Verse 25, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children. Okay, is that enough? No, it's not enough. He's got to hate his brothers and his sisters. How about that? Let's end there. No, don't end there. And his own life also. You know, there could be somebody that hates his father or mother. He does hate them, but he doesn't hate his own life. Right? What does this mean? Jesus saying, hate your father and your mother. Well, we know that God is love. Yeah, but he's not this kind of love. He's this kind of love. He is love in the deepest meaning. He is love like this. There are no idols with God. I have no idols. And idolatry is a problem for me and you, because we bring things into our life that become more important than God. It can be my workshop. My workshop could be more important than God, you know. My hobby, my mother, my father, my future, my career, my life is more important than God. My wound, my pain is more important than God. I met a woman in another country one time, and she was new in our meeting, and I found out that her daughter had died. And I had compassion on her, and we had a little talk. And she was older, a bit of an older woman. And I was so sorry to hear. She was very sad by it. And I said, well, after a while, 20 minutes or so, well, when did this happen? Her daughter was 17 years old when she died. And she said, 27 years ago. And I just changed completely. I go, oh, no. This is wrong. It's all wrong. No, you cannot have, no, this is wrong. No, you know. So I talked to her. I don't know if I helped her. But that tragedy became like the name of her name, identity was this tragedy. In Puerto Rico, the hurricane, as painful as it is, tragic as it is, it cannot be my name. Like if we talk to Job years after, he would be so clean and open and free and loving, he'd be like God. God, did you go through, or Job, did you go through this? Yes, I did. But I have been healed of my wound. I have been healed by God. I have found God. This is important to us, because there are people that have the tragedy and the problems and the pain and the wound and so on, and it becomes the emblem, their poster child of that particular thing. And you and I are called to something more. They love their father too much. They love their mother too much. They love their wife and children and brothers and sisters and their country. And they love their pain and their own life too much. And if you are loving your life this way, you cannot be my disciple. Because when you are my disciple, you're going to find God. And when you find God, you find freedom and a new identity. And you find yourself living as what we are calling a world Christian. World. Not a worldly Christian, but a world Christian. What is that? Listen, when we go evangelize, we sometimes bring a beautiful we always bring a beautiful message, but often it is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that's true. He has a plan. I don't know how wonderful. It's wonderful, but maybe not wonderful this way. It's wonderful another way. I can't promise you it's going to be wonderful in the eyes of the world. It's going to be glorifying your Maker. It'll be wonderful that way. And by the way, God loves you, but He loves His Son. And He has a wonderful plan for His Son. And that is that all the nations of the world will worship Him. And He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are in this plan. We are in this plan. Not our life, but we lose our life to gain another life. Wow. Somebody talked to me after service, I think it was Wednesday night, and we were talking about this subject. And they asked me where I have traveled and those kind of questions. We were just talking, and I said, well, I've lived in 4 countries and been in maybe 60 different countries through the years. And as a hippie in those days when we were hitchhiking around, I was just popular to go to California. And I said, when I got saved, I decided that I would not make those decisions. I wanted God to lead me. And I ended up in this church, in this Bible college, more than 40 years ago. And I said, I never made it to California. I've never been there. But I've been in many other places in the world. I never made it there. And I said, I am so happy that it's not God that directs us. It's not us that are directing our lives. But God orders our footsteps. And we must find this secret that's explained here in Luke 14, verse 27. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bearing his cross. There it is. Can you die like he died? Can you lose your life like he did? Can you do God's will as a young man? He was 33 years old. Young man, healthy, capable man, but he had a purpose which was not his own. It was God. And God led him here. And there he died, humbled, humiliated, ashamed. I mean, in the meaning of it, a fool without anybody there, not one person supporting him. And with all that they had in their hearts, they could not be there. He died alone, separated, cursed. And there he was, and he calls us to carry the cross. Wounded people need to learn the cross. Your wound is incurable, but if you come to the cross, it'll be cured. Your life is a mess. Absolutely. Guess who messed it up? You did. You and I. And God allowed it. And said, kind of bends down and says, how are you doing? Can I help you? Are you open to me? Do you want to know? Are you listening? I received a call one time, and this person just talked for 50 minutes. I just put it on speaker, and I just said, did you want me to say anything? No, I got to tell you this, and I got to tell you this. But, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm listening. Did you want to ask me any question? No, I just need you to listen to me. And when it goes on for days and weeks and months, you wonder, remember that diagram that we drew here the last 2 weeks? Objective truth. And we live in the subjective mind. And we're talking and hurting and just living and feeling. And Jesus says, if you will listen to me, I will lead you in death, but you will find life. If you hear me, if you take up the cross, I will guarantee you, I will fill you. Didn't Jesus say in Mark 10:30, if you lose all of this, I will give you 100-fold? Being with relatives through the years, sometimes I would say, where are you going to go next on your trip? I'll go to India. Well, what are you going to do? Somebody will pick me up at the airport. Do you know somebody in India? Yeah, I do. I know some people in India. A little later, where are you going? China. Where are you going to be? I'm going to go. They're going to meet me at the airport, and we're going to have a conference. Do you know somebody in China? Yeah, we know people. Ghana. Argentina, Mexico, sisters, brothers, houses, friends, mothers, flowers. Isn't that amazing? I hope this isn't misunderstood, because the cross means you are hoping there is 3 days later a resurrection. But when you're on the cross, you're not feeling that there's 3 days later. You don't have anything. You have only faith in God. And that's how sometimes we live. But I want to say, and I am sure you are hearing what I am saying, there is a mystery here. God came into the world to show us God, but he can't show us God when we're so filled with ourselves. He can't show us who he is when we just keep talking. And we just keep talking and talking out of our pain and our trouble and our confusion. And God is saying, could you come to the end of yourself and be submitted to me and lose your life and start to hear about my nature and my grace and my word and my spirit will speak to you and fill you and satisfy you? Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first, counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Have you ever started something and you couldn't finish it? Turn to your neighbor and give a list of 45 things that you started and you never finished. I go over here and talk to these guys without my microphone on. Have you ever started something and you didn't finish it?
Yeah.
Give me some.
Diet.
Dieting. Okay. The exercise equipment. All the exercise equipment that's in the garage or up in the attic. We could fill like warehouses filled with exercise equipment. Because the picture of that guy with those abs on the front of the thing, you know. Man, that's good. I'm going to buy that thing. Languages, maybe. Started to learn a language. That's like me. Which language? Which period of time was that in my life? We know. School. Projects. Let me tell you something. To every one of us, the things that I finished, Pastor Bob said, was the short list. I get the long list of things that I didn't finish, okay? Let me tell you something amazing. Jesus said, come unto me, learn of me. Because you're going to find yourself finishing, because I am going to do this. I'm going to put it in your heart. I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit is going to do it. And he's going to get it done. And you're going to be part of a church where things are going to happen. And you're going to say, you mean I'm part of this? And we actually go into the world with the gospel? And the world, there are people in the world today, and that we could almost weep thinking about it. They have a church. They have a church in China, in Kunming. They have a church. It's so awesome to have a church, have a pastor, have the Bible. We have churches in these different countries, and there's so many, like 72 different countries, more than 600 churches. Is amazing. The numbers aren't the thing. Is one group of people with smiles, and they love God. And they have the Spirit, no more demons. They have freedom, no more lies and false prophets who have not discovered your iniquity, but have found false burdens and causes of banishment, who have misled you into more medicine men and potions and chanting and mantras and deceptions and gods and idols that did not deliver me. Remember, one of our African pastors told this funny story that he led this man to the Lord, and this man was an idol worshiper, and he had a bag of idols. And he traveled from Burkina Faso to Ivory Coast with the idols, and he did his presentation to other idolaters about what this idol will do for you and this idol and so on. And he did that like a seminar for these idols, and he was the teacher. And then he got in the train to go back to Burkina Faso, and he got back and he realized he had left his idols in Ivory Coast. And now he had to pay the money to go back on the train and get the idols and bring them back home. And that's when he realized these idols are not a blessing. They are a burden. Our God is not a burden. Our God is not a problem. Our God is not wounding us. Our God is a living God. Our God speaks to us way down where others cannot go. Our God fills us with the Holy Spirit. And now when we are going to build a tower, we say, okay, I'm going to do this by God's grace, but how can I finish it? Look at the next verse, 30. It says, verse 29, "Lest happily after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." And that can happen. Have you traveled in the countryside and seen buildings half finished with trees growing out, sumac trees growing out of the foundation? Have you seen that? Somebody ran out of money. The bank foreclosed. The debts weren't paid. They couldn't finish it off. It was hard. It's even embarrassing. I started, but I couldn't do it. Verse 30, saying, "The man began to build, but it was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another sits not down first and consults whether he's able with 10,000 army to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. I have to be wise. How can I do it? How can I do it? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." This is what he means. If you live in your wound, you can't have a ministry. You'll be talking about the wrong thing. If your mother's too important to you, Billy Graham is preaching to a million people at the airport in Korea, and he gets a call from his mother. "Billy, I need you. Come home right away. Mom, I got a million people out there waiting for me. I don't care. Do you love me, Billy? Do you love me? If you love me, you'll come home. If you love me, you'll come home." Well, his mom was a godly woman, but I'm trying to say something. You have to say no to your mother in that case, because we have something not from our mother or our father or our friends. We have something from God. That God has called us to build a tower, and we have to finish it through God, by the grace of God, by the doctrines of God, the thoughts of God, the way of God, the mission of God. The Son of God, the Son of God is called. This means that we got big boy pants on. We got big boy pants on. We are growing and maturing. We got something going on. Isn't that good? Amen. I remember at the door, we had a new brother came in. He goes, "I came here. I heard this is a good church. I came here." I go, "Oh, you did? Where'd you hear that from?" He said, "Somebody at work told me. They said, if you want to go to a good church, go down to Greater Grace. They'll teach you there. They'll teach you the Bible down there at Greater Grace. But I'm not going down there. Oh, no, I'm not going. Not even near that place. Not even close to it. And they said, I came down because I was just thinking, I started to joke with the person to understand what the person was saying, like I'm saying it now. There are people that don't want it. They don't want that. They don't want it. It's too expensive. It might cost me my life. I might be a world Christian. When I got my cave, you know what that means? Cave is my home, my secure place, my hiding place, my cave. And Martin Luther called it a God, the God of the cave, the God of the family, God of the cave, God of the clan, the tribe, God of the marketplace. That's the mall. The mall is where I'm buying and selling, or the farmer, whatever. The marketplace could be the New York Stock Exchange. Marketplace, the God of the marketplace and the God of the theater. And these things are replacing God. But if you have found God, then it is a fun, awesome life. And that Spirit, the Spirit of God, is faithful to honor Christ. And when you honor Christ, the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm with you. I'm with you in this thing. I'm with you 100%. That you go, you can go out of the cave into the world and tell other people, don't be afraid. God is love. Tell them God loves them and forgives them. Tell them they have a new name. Tell them God is alive. Tell them that God is the answer for their wound. Tell them that life is God's way. God's way is life, not death, not fear, but freedom and joy and peace. This is an awesome mission. It says here, then, if you lose the salt, verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Let me just share something with you in closing. Light is like really stronger than salt. Salt and light, those two words are used for us. Light is like really strong. Like salt is local. Like if you put salt on your meat, it's just local. But light goes far, like miles and miles. You know, like very far, goes millions and millions of miles from the stars. We can see the stars because of the light. But then the salt is local. And your presence at work, your presence in life. You might say, I'm not a preacher, but I'm a godly man, godly woman, and I am present. That's enough. We are in this world to be present, present locally, present with conviction, present with our joy, our heart, our smile, our attitude. We are present. But we also have light, and it goes far away. Do you know that Paul said to the Thessalonians that your church is heard about in the whole region? We used to say in Budapest that Budapest, the light of the church in Budapest could be seen all the way to Alaska, to eastern Siberia. People knew about us in Budapest. They knew about our joy. They knew about our message and our Bible cause. They heard about it in the Soviet Union, 11 time zones. They heard about our ministry. It's the same here in Baltimore. If we have this quality of life and the Holy Spirit is in us and God is in us, there aren't any wounds. I mean, there can be, but they are healed. We are hoping so. Of course, why wouldn't God heal us of our wounds and our past, in our inner anguish that any of us could have? But if we lose the salt, how can it be fixed? Here's the answer. The cross. the cross is that salt. I'll take it up and I'll have the salt again. The cross will bring the salt back into my life. And that salt is pungent. It's got that bite to it. That salt, there's something about your thinking that's like got that bite. Something about your heart, your words, your attitude is something there that you got. And it comes out. You can be locally, just local, little guy at work, a taxi driver, just or a mom at home, but there's salt. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for this congregation. We assemble not in pride, but in hunger and need. We are unable to finish the tower, but if we lose our life, we got plenty of energy and ability and wisdom to build a tower. We can't go against an army of 20,000 with 10, but if we take up the cross, we'll have everything we need. And we're not afraid of our future. We're not afraid of not finishing. This will be finished, for it is God that has the author and finisher of our faith. To anyone here who has a wound, may God comfort you and heal you and bless you. Be patient and follow him in your heart. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give him your life. And say, Jesus, this hurt me a lot. It hurt me a lot, but I will forgive. I will forgive, and I will forgive every day. I will forgive, and I will be healed, and I will be useful. Yes, Jesus. And then, anyone here not a believer, today is the day of salvation. Believe in Jesus personally and say to Jesus, I believe in you. Teach me. I want to open my ears to you. I want to put my trust in you. If you're saying that prayer in your heart, please mean it in your heart to God. And the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you in the next few days and leading you in your faith. And turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John in the next few days, if not today, and start reading it, and God will speak to you from the Bible. And to all of us as believers, let us be grounded in the Bible, in our personal Bible, on a regular basis, every day, as part of our everyday life. And don't give God your life just once and go on your way, but have it as a way of life, a way of thinking, yielding to him, believing him, surrendering, trusting, and the Spirit will fill you and teach you and show you the way. In Jesus' name, amen.